Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Family, let's pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for another day, another opportunity to study your word, to hear your word, to be your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that's here to guide us, to encourage us, to teach us. Holy Spirit, have your way. Think through my mind, speak through my lips, that I would clearly state those things that we need to hear so that we can continue to grow from faith to faith. We thank you, Father, for your dominion, power, and authority over Satan and his demonic forces. So we remind Satan right now that you are defeated and under our feet. You cannot cause any confusion, strife, or discord in the mighty name of Jesus. And as always, Father, we're going to be very careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor in that name that is above every name, the name of our Savior and soon returning King, Jesus the Christ. And the people of God say, Amen. All right. Today we are starting a new teaching entitled Prosperity for God's People. Again, the title of this message is Prosperity for God's People. I believe that every Christian will enjoy and benefit from this important teaching because it will elevate you to a better financial position in life and cause you to be a greater blessing to others. If you dare to believe and by faith apply the biblical principles we will be discussing throughout this teaching. Listener, please pay close attention to the title of this teaching. This teaching is specifically for Christians, not sinners. This corrupt economical world system that we live under is not designed for Christians to prosper. Satan's evil system is intentionally designed to keep people in poverty, living from paycheck to paycheck, and in financial debt. However, if we take the time to study what God's word has to say about financial prosperity, we will find out that Christians can live above this corrupt economical system that Satan has in place. God's plan for our financial prosperity is not limited by how well the stock market rallied today, or who is in control of our White House, or if you got or did not get that well-deserved salary increase. God will use these channels to bless his people. But remember, God is our source of wealth and not this corrupt world system. This study will consist of six parts. An introduction, which we will start today. Part one entitled, Poverty, Satan's Plan to keep Christians ineffective. Part two, the law of sowing and reaping. Part three, the blessing of Abraham. Part four, how to activate the blessing. And part five, seed, time, and harvest. I pray for those Christians who do not believe that God's people should be financially wealthy will be educated by God's word that we should be not only wealthy, but financiers of the kingdom of God. And for those who already believe, you will gain a greater understanding of how to operate in God's financial plan so you can be a channel of the great wealth God has for you. Please note that I will be quoting from the New King James Bible translation unless otherwise stated. Let's begin with the introduction. We know from God's word that it is his plan that we walk in prosperity in every area of our lives, spirit, soul, and body. Let's reread 3 John verse 2. Again, turn to 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Listener, I want to highlight a very important part, a statement, a truth that has been given in this one verse, and that is that God wants you to prosper in all things. Notice that all things has been separated from health and also your soul. We know that when we got saved and received Jesus as our Savior and Lord, our spirit man went from death into eternal life. In other words, we are spiritually alive, and when we leave this earth realm, we will be present in heaven with our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And in our salvation package or gift, we have the assurance of living in divine health, and when we miss the mark, divine healing. So those two parts of our being are covered very clearly in this scripture. So what is prosper in all things? Well, this is what this lesson is all about. The all things includes financial prosperity. Let's continue. God's prosperity is not only about money, but it most definitely includes walking in financial prosperity from beginning to end. Listeners, I am letting you know right now that this is a teaching on financial prosperity. Again, this teaching is on financial prosperity. It is not about healing. It is not about the Holy Spirit, nor is it about prayer. Therefore, please do not expect me to teach or speak on spiritual prosperity or physical prosperity. These topics are important and have their place in God's Word, but this study is not on these topics. So don't criticize or throw rocks at this lesson. I am giving you fair warning that we will be talking about Christians claiming their legal right to God's riches on this earth and living in financial abundance. Again, I will be expressing to you, based on God's word, that Christians have a legal right to God's riches on this earth, and we should be living in financial abundance. Now, so that you don't think that I'm out of line with God's word, let me tell you what I found out about the topic of money in the Bible by way of the internet. According to Shelley Moore, money is mentioned 140 times in the King James Version of the Bible. And if we include the words gold, silver, wealth, riches, inheritance, debt, poverty, and related topics, it turns out that the Bible pays a great deal of attention to financial matters than nearly any other subject. I want to highlight that, family, because there is confusion in the body of Christ with regards to financial prosperity. So again, the Bible pays a great deal of attention to financial matters than nearly any other subject. Now I ask you, is God trying to tell his children that financial prosperity is important? Yes, he is. So you naysayers, don't get upset with me if God is using me to be his voice here in the earth realm to let his people know that there is a better way to live financially secure, and that is through God's word. Keep in mind that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Then in Genesis chapter 2, verses 26 through 30, the Godhead is discussing the creation of mankind. how they will bless man and how God will give mankind dominion over all his earthly creation. Now, because I will be explaining in depth this very important point in the following parts of this teaching, it is sufficient to say at this time that it was always God's intent for mankind to live in prosperity, spirit, soul, and body, and that God created the precious materials, gold, silver, diamonds, and other precious stones for our pleasure and purpose. Yes, I said it. The wealth of this world that our Heavenly Father created for mankind should be in the hands of God's people. According to Proverbs 13:22, this transfer of riches is coming our way. This verse says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous." Amen and amen. For those who are taking notes, write down again Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. I want to highlight the last part of that verse. The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Before we go any further, I want us to read some of the verses that are recorded in the Holy Bible that tell us that God wants us to live in financial prosperity. Let's start with John 10:10. Please, everybody turn to John 10:10. Jesus is speaking. It says, "The thief, aka Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Now, I want you to pay close attention to the wording of this scripture. This scripture, spoken by Jesus, says that Satan only comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So do a self-examination, family. Is your bank account at minus zero? Does it appear that your pockets or your pocketbook has holes and your money is slipping through? That you're not able to pay your debts on time or provide for your family needs? Now, I'm not talking about luxury items. I'm talking about the basics. A safe home with warm furnace during the winter and a cool conditioner during the summertime. Then your finances are being stolen. They're being killed and destroyed by Satan. Now, Jesus says that he came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Now, pay attention. I would say, maybe this is just me, but I would say that being able to provide for your family and having a savings account for situations that may arise throughout the year, and having a secured income where you can depend on money coming in consistently so that you can have a savings account, you can have a safe place to live, you can have an automobile to get to and fro, yes, and more. That's what Jesus is speaking of when he said he came to give us life and life more abundantly. That's what the scriptures tell us. Now, I'm not going to stop here because I have several scriptures that we're going to examine right now in this introduction to this teaching. But I wanted you to hear it from Jesus, our Savior and Lord, first. But this financial prosperity is starting from the book of Genesis, and it carries through to the book of Revelation. So God is speaking to his people, and he is letting us know that he has put us in a wealthy place if we are willing and obedient. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 39. We're going to read verses 2 and 3. Genesis chapter 39, starting with verse number 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Now, for you Christians that have read this recorded event in the book of Genesis, all know that Joseph is a Jew. He is from the nation of Israel. He was one of 12 brothers that are recorded in the book of Genesis. And his brothers sold him into slavery. Now, I know some of you are thinking or thinking about your current position. And you might be saying, well, it says the Lord was with Joseph. And you may be saying that's the reason why he prospered. And you are correct. The reason Joseph prospered was because the Lord was with him. But I want to remind you right now, family, that the Lord is with you. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then Jesus lives in you. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And I think everyone who is earshot of this radio program can commit or admit that poverty, lack of financial prosperity is a curse. It is not welcomed. You don't thrive and work so that you live in poverty. Your choices should be based on God's word so that you can live more abundantly, so that you can be a blessing to others. So let's get back to Genesis 39, verses 2 and 3. The Lord was with Joseph, and the Egyptian looked at this Jew and said, oh my goodness, the Lord is with him, because everything Joseph did on behalf of his master would prosper. Now, I want you to think, now I know you are not in this same exact position, but anyone who works for another person is using their gifts and talents to serve another individual. The scriptures, and we're going to read that shortly, but in the scriptures, it says that everything we touch should prosper. So we, as Christians who have received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, are in a better position than Joseph, who was a servant of God. So I'm just letting you know that prosperity was already in God's plan at the beginning of time. All right, let's continue. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 8, one verse, verse 18. It says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. All right. Again, I want to highlight a very important word that is used in this scripture. The word power in the Hebrew is translated, or correctly translated, to mean ability, authority, privilege. Now keep those words in mind as I reread that portion of the scripture. It says, for it is he who gives you power, ability, authority, and privilege to get wealth. Now, How does he give us this power? Well, each of us have gifts and talents that can be utilized, in other words, developed and used to obtain wealth. So it is incumbent on us as individuals to identify those gifts and talents, develop them, and then by the leading of the Holy Spirit, march forward in that area that you excel in, because God will prosper it. Then it goes on to say that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers. Now we know, and we're going to read more clearly in further scriptures, that the wealth is to be used not only for our needs, but for the needs of others. And more importantly, to finance the kingdom of God. But let's continue. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Very important. It says, and whatever he does shall prosper. So that is a faith confession that each Christian should make on a daily basis, from the very young to the very old. This is one confession that I use on a daily basis, because the fact that I'm in ministry requires me to do things that may not fit into every Christian's life, but it does require that I deal with Christians across the board. And if I want to be successful in taking the good news to Jesus Christ, it's going to take money, finances, and an ability to do so. So one of the things that I claim based on scripture, Psalm 1:3, that I claim daily is whatever I trust shall prosper. And I thank the Lord that he has provided this promise to me. And I would tell you right now, family, you need to do the same. All right, let's continue. We're talking about scriptures that are recorded in the Bible, letting us know, this is God letting us know, that we should live in financial prosperity. All right, let's go to Psalm 23, verse 1. Psalm 23, 1. Many of you are going to be very familiar with this scripture. It said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, a shepherd is someone who takes care of, guides, feeds, and protects the sheep. That's what the Lord is to us. He is our protector and our provider. And as a result of that, this scripture says, I shall not want. Now, in the Hebrew, that word want means lack. L-A-C-K, I shall not lack. I shall not lack because my provider and my protector will be with me all the days of my life. That's another claim that you folks, Christians, should be making. Don't accept lack in your life. You claim what God has already provided in his scriptures. All right, let's continue with the book of Psalm. Let's go to chapter 34, one verse, verse 10. Psalm 34, 10 says, and I'm only going to be reading the last part of the scripture. It says, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Those of us who are seeking the Lord, who are living according to God's word. That's what it means to seek the Lord. You're looking to see him in every aspect of your life. It says, shall not lack any good thing. Now I'm going to highlight good thing, because money is a thing. Prosperity, financial prosperity, is a thing. So I want you to keep that in mind as we continue through these verses. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." When we honor the Lord, and the way we honor our Lord is by living out His word in our lives daily. When we give unto the Lord so that the kingdom work can get done, then we can be sure that our barns will be filled with plenty and our vats will overflow with new wine. Now, we know that during this time period when this scripture was recorded, it was an agrarian nation. And you may not be a farmer, but we do live in mid-country. Oh, my goodness, family, my time is up. I thank you for yours. But please return next week as we continue with our new teaching, Prosperity for God's People.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.